This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Alexandra Levitt is the author of They Don't Teach Corporate in College, a practical guide that delivers the vital information junior corporate employees need to succeed in today's tough business climate. As the founder of the career consultancy Inspiration at Work, Alexandra advises both companies and individuals on harnessing the potential of the 20-something generation. She has two books due out next year. First one is entitled, How'd You Score That Gig? And the second is Solving the Talent Equation. Alexandra, welcome to Edgewise. There's a lot of talk about the millennial generation or Generation Y and their impact on the current workplace. How would you describe their impact?
The millennial issue in terms of these young people that are entering the workforce, there's about 75 million of them in the United States alone, and figuring out how to interact with them and how to effectively recruit and retain them is an issue that if you're not already thinking about it now in your organization, you need to be thinking about it in the next year or so, because actually in the next 5 to 10 years, it is going to become critical that you get these young people on board and that they are the future of your organization and that you know how to take them forward.
Since writing your book, They Don't Teach Corporate in College, have you noticed any further developments with college graduates entering the workforce?
Okay, well, this is a good question, one of my favorites. When I graduated from college, it's a few years ago now, my journey was mostly about adapting to a world that was completely foreign to me. This is a world where getting ahead had less to do with intelligence and work product and more to do with how people perceived me and the relationships I developed. And I like to say that if I hadn't treated my first jobs like first grade and taken the time to learn and adapt to the business world, which can be bureaucratic and sometimes nonsensical, I would have been left behind. And we're seeing a little bit of a change now in the sense that the next wave of college grads are more entrepreneurial, they're assertive, they're dedicated to changing business for the better, but they do face some of the same transitional challenges that I faced a couple years ago. Only the difference is now we're seeing organizations becoming a little less hierarchical and more innovative and nimble in response to this new generation, which is known as, you know, Generation Y or the millennials. Because of their sheer numbers and combined with the fact that there's an impending labor shortage brought on by the baby boomers' coming retirement, they've got a little bit more power than my generation, which is known as Generation X, had in shaping the business culture. So where we had to kind of assimilate and fit in, we're seeing business change a little bit. That said, though, it's not really working when Generation Yers walk into the organization and expect it to change for them overnight. Their outspokenness and the fact that they're not always willing to compromise are causing some clashes with the baby boomers that are currently in power, who sometimes think these young people have kind of a sense of entitlement and should pay their dues.
So it sounds like communication skills are particularly important.
Absolutely, and that's something that we're seeing. We're seeing some of the breakdowns occur are in that basic person-to-person communication. Another interesting that we're seeing that's a change in the last couple years have been some cool studies that have shown that while most empowered Generation Y women would say that they feel totally and completely equal to men in the workforce, this is not, in fact, the case, actually. Women in business are still lagging behind men, even today in 2007, with a recent study that said the overall wage gap has women earning 77 cents to every dollar earned by a man. And what's even more interesting about this is that when the Bureau of Labor Statistics researched this issue, they found that the gap narrowed to 93% for workers under 25 years old, which basically means that the gap widens as women move through their careers and actually face increasing obstacles as they become more senior. So this is something that those Generation Y women, I think, are going to have a hard time with as they progress in their careers.
Well, yes, you talked about the importance of relationships to these new entrants into an organization, you know, that they need to find out who's who and start building relationships. But do you find that any of the companies in your research utilize mentoring? And if so, what makes mentoring effective?
OK, Okay, well, I personally swear by mentoring. I think it's one of the best ways to assimilate new employees, teach them what they need to know to be productive, and also send the message that you think that they're important and care about their growth. And one thing that I came across when I was looking at different organizations is that mentoring programs that are good don't have to be super formal. Sometimes people get overwhelmed thinking, gosh, I have to set up this mentoring program with these 8 steps and these 200 people involved. And in fact, that's not necessarily always required, but what is required of a successful mentoring program is that you select the best people, especially on the mentor side. And the type of people you want to look for are, you know, people who can empathize with an employee that might have special challenges, people who have a nurturing attitude, and also people who exemplify the best of the company's culture and have solid links to the organization. This is something where a lot of companies fall down. They think that, you know, just because someone's, you know, a great leader or great at their job, that they might be the best mentor. But in fact, that person could subtly be feeding the mentee negative information about the company or things that you don't necessarily want to be teaching them. And I actually personally believe that the best mentors are people who are just a few years ahead of the mentee on the ladder, and that's because they can relate to the mentee's current situation, but at the same time, they have enough perspective to provide, you know, concrete and workable advice. So I like to recommend that it's people either just the level above the mentee or maybe two levels above.
Alexandra, I recently read an article about reverse mentoring. You've probably heard about this, where the mentee may actually provide some mentoring to the mentor. An example might be a new person in an organization who doesn't know the organization so well, but is very adept in, let's say, technology. And the manager may not be so adept in it. So there's this opportunity for reverse mentoring. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of that, and actually I was discussing this issue with some executives at Campbell Soup when I visited there in April and spoke at the general leadership meeting there, because they're actually facing a situation where they have to do a lot of knowledge transfer. They have an engineering group, for as just one example, in the company that is majority baby boomers, and they're going to be retiring in the next, you know, 10 years or so. And so they're looking at how to get these new millennials up to speed. And one thing they're suggesting that would make it beneficial for the baby boomers to give them their time is to have these millennials teach them, for example, about technological issues, you know, how to leverage things like social networking and, you know, how to use technology to get your job done more efficiently. And I think the great thing about reverse mentoring is that I always try to tell young professionals that when, you know, you're seeking out a mentor and you're looking for advice and you're looking for direction, think about what you can offer that person in return. And sometimes young professionals will say, well, I'm just 22. There's nothing I can offer. And that's not necessarily true. You just have to be a little bit creative about it. An example of how this might come into play, I had an early boss in my career who really kind of took me under her wing. She was an SVP of PR, and I was just an account coordinator. And she really taught me a lot about public relations and how the business worked. And so she had told me one day that she really liked to write articles, and yoga was one of her passions. So I said to her, well, gee, I like to write articles, and I can probably help you get an article placed in Yoga Journal. And that was something I volunteered to do for her in response to her helping me with my career. So you just have to be a little bit creative.
That's a great example. Are there any other rules of thumb that you came across in your research of companies that, you know, that you would offer to managers in effective ways to assimilate these new college grads into their organization?
Sure. Well, that's actually one of the things that I've been looking at as I've gone around to a couple different Fortune 500 companies, and we've talked to the managers about what they can be doing on a day-to-day basis to effectively interact with recent college grads who have some differing needs, as we've talked about. The first thing is to really understand each millennial's unique capabilities, to actually take them out to lunch, understand where they're coming from, where they want to see their careers going. And these young people are big, big thinkers. And so you want to kind of go out of your way to develop a mutually beneficial relationship where you can position yourself as someone who's available to help that 20-something grow and improve and meet their career aspirations, or at least the career aspirations that they might have at the moment. Find out the type of work that gets them excited, and then try to customize assignments to meet those desires. 20-somethings also don't want to be micromanaged, but they do like to receive timely and consistent feedback, and they like to have individual performance goals that they can then be measured against. And so this is something that a lot of times managers feel like, well, you know, these people are so independent and they're so assertive, I should just kind of let them fly and do what, you know, do what makes them, you know, feel best and most comfortable. But in fact, that's a misunderstanding about this generation. This is a generation that does actually respect authority and does want to be guided. So they want to have some freedom within the context of certain expectations, but they do want those expectations to be known. And, you know, the last thing I would just say is that managers shouldn't be fooled by 20-somethings' assertiveness and independence. And there's a lot these young professionals don't know, and they're actually looking to more experienced managers to help them learn it. So it's kind of a fine line between giving them, you know, step-by-step directions on every task and, you know, giving them a broad task and then letting them know you're there to help them support, to support them in learning.
I think it was just the other day, Alexandra, I came across a 2006 ASTD study that was done by a couple of other organizations where they were looking at some of the gaps in the high school grads and college grads entering the workforce. And one of the gaps they identified as a particularly important and worrisome gap was around leadership and team player ability. They weren't able to work with others or direct others and weren't able to work well in team situations. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this something that to this. I'm wondering if this is something that you've observed.
It's an interesting issue because on the one hand, millennials are known for their collaboration. I mean, they're the ones who invented social networking, basically, where people are online constantly interacting. You know, they're text messaging each other. They like to work in teams, and they do actually prefer that type of work to individual work, where everyone goes to their cube and sort of does their own tasks. But I think that what we're seeing is because of the way this generation has been very well taken care of by their parents, you know, they've always been sort of instructed on the right activities to participate in, what to study in school. They've always been, you know, I hate to use the word coddled, but to some extent, you know, that is this generation. I think that when it comes to being out on their own in the workplace, they're a little bit not quite as prepared as perhaps some of the earlier generations. Gen X in particular was very independent throughout their childhoods. So they were used to being very self-sufficient. And so we're seeing kind of an interesting dichotomy where on the one hand, the millennials think that they're really independent and think that they can achieve a lot on their own, but when they actually get into the workforce, they need a lot more hand-holding than maybe other generations prior to them. So there are going to be some issues in terms of getting these guys up to speed enough to take over leadership positions. And I think it's just going to take them a little longer than either they think or the managers think.
The book is They Don't Teach Corporate in College, and the author is Alexandra Levitt. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay, thank you.
It's once again time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And here's Kevin Lee.
Today at the AMA Center, I asked seminar participants to share their experiences working with college graduates, interns, and 20-somethings who are just getting started in the corporate workplace. Here's what some of them had to say.
I work in the biomedical testing area, both in research and medical diagnostics. So we have the 20-somethings coming in two different areas. One is into our R&D, so they've just graduated with their possibly their master's or PhD in a science-related field and developing products or going into the sales to sell the products that we manufacture. I work for a company that's been around for, you know, 60, 70, 80 years, and so we have a lot of people that have worked for the company for 30, 40 years, and now we're getting the younger folks coming in, and so they do bring new ideas and a fresh perspective and definitely more technology and computer skills, so that's probably the assets. Because I work for a company that is an older, established, very conservative company, learning to adapt to our culture, our corporate culture probably tends to be the biggest challenge. Learning how to navigate your way through the organization and the politics involved is probably the hardest thing to overcome as a young employee.
I work at a pharmaceutical company, and we have summer interns, and they tend to come in interested in working in an industry environment versus, say, an academic environment, and the two environments tend to be very different. So getting them accustomed to a company tends to be a challenge. I think one thing that I've noticed is that they've grown up in a technologically advanced environment. They're used to emailing. They're used to using cell phones and text messaging. And so that tends to be a double-edged sword in the sense that they're good at it, but they tend to use it a lot, and it could be a distraction, especially for older managers. If they're not in the same sort of wavelength, then it may be kind of a clash.
I work in an oil and gas manufacturing company. It's BP Trinidad and Tobago right now. BP actually has a good structure with how we take on people at different ages within their career, both from interns when you're actually just working through summer vacation jobs to just after you graduate. There's the challenge program, so you actually assign mentors for that first 3 years of your life. A lot of different personalities that you need to deal with as well, because different locations mean different cultures, different personalities, and these folks are expected to work at any locations across the world.
Well, you know, I see, especially with our younger employees, I do see that they get frustrated more easily, that they tend to jump around to positions more frequently compared to the older employees at at our office, where you see longevity. You see 20, 30 years with a company. So I do see that they get easily distracted. They lose focus quickly. And the grass is always greener on the other side. So making sure and influencing and encouraging them to stay in a current position for a couple years before thinking about a move is probably best, because I don't think that they think that way. They think that they're going to make more money somewhere else. They're going to get bored easily.
So when they join the company or they see these nice glamorous positions, which is great if you want to look and aspire to doing something different. But in aspiring to doing something different, you need to build some competencies or build your career path to match those. And probably that bridge there is missing, and they probably get frustrated.
So it sounds like patience is one of the first lessons they have to learn.
That's right, yeah, and they're probably lacking it right now.
Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.